I want to start at Isaiah chapter number 49. It says, listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me. Say with me, called me. Now remember that, from the womb, from the matrix of my mother, He has made mention of my name. Listen, if God can just make a mention of your name. Next verse. And He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow, say shadow, of His hand, He has hidden me. Say hidden. I'm lighting up these words because we're going to get into them. And made me a polished shaft. Say polished. And in His quiver, say with me quiver, He has hidden me. Again, same word, hidden. Say hidden. And we're going to stop right there. And that is all for this morning. And let me read it again. Go back to verse 1. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, He has made mention of my name. Next verse. And He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand, He has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. He's speaking of you being an arrow. In His quiver, He has hidden me. A quiver is a leather bag that an archer would carry with arrows in a quiver. Are you guys with me? That speaks of how God begins to train us and take us through a process to be raised up so that we can become fruitful, so that we can become an arrow that He begins to pull back and shoot. I need you guys to stay with me. Okay? Go to verse 1 for me. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed to your peoples from afar. The Lord has called me. Say with me, called me. Say, I am called. Every person under the sound of my voice this morning, you are called. Not everybody is chosen, but you are called. It is our decision to choose whether we want to be chosen. But everybody says, everybody under the sound of my voice is called. There's a calling of God upon your life, whether it is business, whether it is medical, whether it is ministry, whether it is whatever it might be, finances, but there's a call of God upon your life. God has called you out from something. The word called there means to be separated. I'm going to say it again. It means to be separated, which means that God separated you from a large group to set you apart. He separated you from something to something, from the world to yourself. The Bible says that there is a remnant, which is a few. If you study the word remnant, it means this. It's a vine dresser that has a bunch of grapes in his hand, and as he is about to throw the bunch of grapes away, he suddenly realizes there's a cluster of grapes that is still okay, and he breaks that off and he throws it into the basket where all the other grapes goes. And that is the exact wording of a remnant, that God was about to throw this whole group away, but then he suddenly realized, wait, there is a few there that is still calling on my name. There is a few there. That is a special, peculiar people. Called out once. Special, peculiar people. And as he picks that out and he throws it in, the Bible says that is the remnant. Which means that you have been handpicked from a larger crowd. Specifically to do the call, the purpose of God for your life. But just before you were thrown away, God said, no. There that one is. I'm going to handpick them especially for a special task. That's what it means to be called, to be separated. May you understand this morning. I don't care how dull your life is. May you understand this morning that you've been handpicked out of a larger crowd to do a special task and a purpose for God. Your blueprint of your life has been laid out already. Long before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God knew you and knew about you. Come on, are you guys with me? Listen, you are as old as what God is. Your spirit comes from Him. All things was in Him. All things came from Him. You were in Him when He began. where he had no beginning. So does that mean you have no beginning? That means you will have no end. Are you guys with me? Called to be separated. Say separated. Say I am called. So that's what that word called means. So we go on. So it says, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of his hand. Say with me, shadow of his hand. He has hidden me. Say to me the word hidden. The word hidden in Hebrew means preparation. Once I say yes for the call of God, once I answer to the call of God, listen, there are many sitting here who has not answered the call of God. You answer everything else. You answer medical, you answer this, you answer, and I, whatever the call, if God has called you to medical, that's fine. If God has called you to business, that's fine. But some are doing their own things. They're fulfilling their own desires and they are answering their own prayers. They pray, God, please give me this car. Please, and then you go out and you buy the car. And then they pray, they say, God, please, give me this business. And then, you know, and God is like, but no, I've, you know, that's not what I want for you now. And then you kind of like take every opportunity to make it happen and you answer your own prayers. And you think it is God who's answering your prayer. When we said yes to the call of God, I remember getting on my knees and I used, in the beginning of my salvation, I used to say, God, I say yes to the call of God. Like Isaiah answered and said, here I am, Lord. Send me to the angels and in heaven as he said it. I used to say, God, here am I, use me. Here am I, send me. After that call is being answered, you go into a thing called a preparation mode. Say with me, preparation mode. That is where you are being prepared for what God is about to bring. That is not 1 month. That is not 2 months. Are you guys with me? Say with me. That is not 2 months. Say, that is not a short time. If a woman gives birth 9 months to a baby, how much more in the spirit do we have to give birth to something or someone supernatural? The word preparation is the same similar word as what the Apostle Paul used in the New Testament when he said to the Corinthian church, I have begotten you. Everybody, listen, I did not take over this church. I have begotten this church. Bible says that God said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to take of the spirit that is upon you and put it upon the 70 elders. For them to carry the burden with you so that you do not carry it alone. That's what we ministered on Sunday, on Thursday evening on the School of Discipleship. And then the Bible says, and all of them went and began to prophesy. But Moses never prophesied. But God took from Moses' spirit, put upon the 70 elders. They prophesied, but Moses never prophesied. Please tell me where Moses prophesied. Are you guys with me? Water. So, when you have a church of importation, there's activation. I might not even be able to do something, but once you're imported and activated, it's like you can do double or triple more than what I'm doing. Or you have something that I don't have. That is when true importation comes. Come on, are you guys with me? Then we begin to have a team or a team ministry where it's no longer just the man of God on the pulpit trying to do all the work or trying to do this or that, but it's people being partaking and working with the ministry, equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. There's a team that serves and that is growing in maturity. I don't have to do School of Discipleship on a Thursday, prayer on a Monday, preaching on a Sunday, do another Bible study somewhere. It just does. Listen, that church will not grow more than 50 people. But when I can raise others up who has my spirit in them and upon them, that I know that they will preach the way that I preach, not that they have to copy me, but there will be an importation. There will be a replication, not a duplication. Duplication loses value. Replication keeps the value. So say with me, prepare. Listen, the preparation process is when we are being begotten, when we are being birthed. This is, I wrote you, begotten will cost you a severe price of commitment. Sacrifice, when you don't want to want to giving when you don't want to, giving when you can't, praying when everything is against you, fasting when you feel like you can't, working and serving into late hours of the morning despite work the next day in order to advance the kingdom of heaven. Trust me, I know this experience. Listen here. Say with me, preparation. So that's the second stage. So we read, it says, he has hidden me. The word hidden means preparation. And he made me a polished shaft, the shaft of an arrow. And he made, say with me, me, a polished shaft. Which means that after the pressure, so you get the set apart season. Then you get the separation season. Then you get the preparation season. Then you get the polishing season. The polishing season is when God takes and he begins to polish you. Maybe there's some rugged areas and he has to take a steel brush first, or he has to like make you soft and begins to polish you, and he causes you to begin to shine. This is the process that people hate. Because now first they've made up in their hearts, they're going to begin to be prepared. They're going to choose. Listen to me. People choose whether they want to be begotten of me or not. It is not my decision to beget Chris. It is his decision to be begotten. Too many people are not being begotten, and they don't want to be begotten. And I hate familiarity. You know, I was speaking to somebody, I think it was in the weekday or so. I hate familiarity, because familiarity shows to me a reluctancy and or how can I say, like a lackadaisical type of an attitude towards God, towards the gift of God. Say with him, polished. Listen here. This is the period, the polishing period is when I discipline you, I come against you, I rebuke you, your family comes against you, your friends comes against you, your everything, your work colleagues comes against you. Your friends will begin to phone you up and say, why is this? You are in the polishing period. You go between the preparation, the polishing period. You go through that period until you are a polished shaft. And God can see this person as character. Now the time comes when you are polished, God polishes you so that when you are being shot as an arrow, that you can hit the enemy bullseye. If you are not polished, the wind will take you somewhere else. You will aim for one place, but you will hit another place. That's why polishing is required. Are you guys with me? We must be a people who are saying, I want to submit to a season of polishing. My season of polishing was 10 years long. And it still is, and God never stops with it. Come on, are you guys with me? In the polishing season is where you want to give up. That's the season where it feels like God has left you alone. That's the season where you think the church doesn't like you. That's the season where you think Leon doesn't even care about me. So, and all these things look, hey, it's a polishing season. You are being scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed so that when you are sent out, when you do what God has called you to do, that you can do it effectively and hit it bullseye. Are you guys with me? Listen, from there it goes on. Say with me, hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, say with me, the quiver. Now he says, sorry, before this, says, in the shadow of his hand, you can only endure preparation and the polishing season when you are under the shadow of his hand. The secret place, I told you. He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is when everything comes against you, but you are sitting in your you're at home and you're praying. You know, many people are just with their family the whole time, and I also have a family. I understand those desperate needs and so on. But there's time where my wife and my children must come second, and God must come first. Otherwise, I'm idolizing them. Where I have to get into my room and get on my knees and begin to seek the face of God, begin to worship, until his anointing comes in that place. And then I begin to read Bible. And then when my wife calls me for food, I don't even feel like going to eat, because I'm spending time with God. You see, we have not made God number one in our lives. We have made our family or our friends or this or business number one. Where God is saying, I want to be number one. Where you can spend time with your family, you can do this. But if you feel an unction on the inside of you and say, and God is saying, I want you now. I want to spend time with you. What am I doing? I'm paying a price. And I'm keeping on praying. I'm keeping on spending time with God. Some of you might say it's wrong. It's not wrong. It's a sacrifice. It's a price I am paying to be with God. God must be preeminence in my life. Are you guys with me? Say with me, polished. The secret place is the way we endure this. Because everybody can come against you except God. That you can get at home at night and you're thinking, you know, and for us to move bigger, I will have to raise the fire in the team. Which will probably halt it again. I don't know. Or let's hope they look and listen to the lessons. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. Say with me, in his quiver, also speaks of the secret place. He has hidden me. The word hidden there is different to the other word hidden in the Hebrew. This word hidden means to be refreshed. Once we've gone through the seasons, we will come to a place, say with me, refreshing. It's a refreshing time, but it is also, it speaks of refreshing and it speaks of waiting. Refreshing and waiting, those two things. Those who wait upon the Lord shall rise up, shall renew their strength and rise up upon the wings of an eagle. Those who wait upon the Lord. The word wait does not mean to sit silently. It means to be intertwined and become one with God. In fact, the word rest and wait actually means to rule. That while you're in this season of being refreshed, you must have rulership. You must be in the church, grow cells, be fruitful with your ministry, or you must rule and have dominion wherever you go. And you wait for God, not just in a resting time, but you're spending time with God. You're being intertwined. When the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and suddenly he was not, for God took him. It means that he became one with God, the word walk. He walked so tight, so close, it was as if they intermingled and fused together to become one. That happens in the secret place. Are you guys with me? That can take 5 years, 6 years, different times to everybody. But you come out of that place. Listen here. Your ministry growth and success in your ministry must never outweigh your anointing. It is so sad to see somebody stepping on a big stage with thousands of people and there's not a drop of an anointing. Your success must never outweigh your anointing. You must be so anointed that when that promotional success comes, that you can handle it. Are you guys with me? Listen. Jesus waited and allowed himself to be hidden. The Bible says Jesus knew his time of manifestation, his time of hiding for 30 years. Jesus himself. Jesus waited for 30 years before he could reveal himself. Are you guys with me? Joseph waited 13 years. Come on. Abram waited 25 years. Moses waited 40 years. And I can go on and on and on. Elisha served Elijah between 8 to 12 years, being his servant, being his slave. Okay. Remember, Jesus came to be a bond servant, but if you study it, he says actually a bond slave, which means that he has no will of his own until he is being released. That's what a bond servant is. Are you guys with me? Then you get, listen. Say with me, sending out. After you've been through this process, there's one or two more things that's happening. That's like, you're in the quiver and the arrows are hidden in a quiver. It's like, let's say 10, 15. And then you see the hand coming out and it picks an arrow and you think, it's my time. I'm going to be shot right now. I'm going to be sent out. And they take the arrow next to you and they shoot the arrow. And the people think, why is he being used? Why does Martin preach and I don't preach? Why does this one do this and not me? It's only Leon that is preaching or this and not me? Or maybe you're in a home cell group or somebody becomes a cell leader and you see the hand coming, you think it is you, and you see that hand coming and it takes somebody else next to you. And you're just like getting discouraged and getting, listen, sooner or later that hand has to take you. But when that hand takes you, there's another thing that happens. When Jesus was going to a city, he was walking and between him and the city, he was with his disciples. There was a mule that was fastened with a chain. And he said to his disciples, go and go get that mule. And if they tell you this and this and this, tell them the master has sent you and is requiring of it now. And then bring it back to me. And then we'll go to the city. And if you study it, the city is the same place where the mule was just a little bit on. So what Jesus was doing, he said, listen, go to the mule, then come back, and then we'll go to the city. Are you guys with me? When you are an arrow, and God chooses you and it's your timing, and he puts you in his bow, and he pulls, listen here, before the arrow can shoot, and the effectiveness and the strength of that arrow is the ability of the tightness of the string and how hard it is pulled backwards, which means that you and I must first go backwards before we are sent forwards. It's a spiritual rule. So even you're being chosen, you're being put into that bow. And again, it feels like, but I'm going backwards. Nothing is happening in life. Nothing, and it's tight. It's pulling me, but it's backwards. It's backwards. And then something happened until you're released. And if you've gone through the polishing period, you've gone through the preparation period, you will hit the enemy bull's eye. I don't know if you guys are understanding me. Come on, are you guys with me? Listen, the word shaft, we'll finish in 2 minutes. The word shaft, a polished shaft. The word shaft means the lightnings of God. When you are shot in the bow as an arrow, you can be as the lightnings of God. Are you guys with me? Listen, let me just go to a scripture. Put on the screen for me Zechariah chapter number 9, verse number 13. Zechariah chapter number 9, verse number 13. Broska derevekele dele bede maroze ke dele dele bede maraba. Broska tekele dele bede madre. Hey guys, come. Zechariah 9, verse 13. Okay, happening? Nothing happening? Nothing, tell me. Make a signal. Not working, okay. Zechariah. Chapter number 9, verse number 13. Roska drevere ketekele derebe. Zechariah 9, verse 13. Listen to this. He says, For I have bent Judah, my bow, say my bow, fitted the bow with Ephraim, and raised up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and made you like the sword of a mighty man. Next verse. Then the Lord will be seen over them, and he say with me, his arrow, which is you and I, will go forth like lightning. Say lightning. When you are polished, when you are prepared, when God's timing comes and he begins to shoot you, it'll be like a strike of lightning that hits the enemy. But when you go out before your time, the winds will take you off and you will miss the mark. The Lord God will blow the trumpet and go with the whirlwinds from the south. Next verse. The Lord of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue with the sling stones. They shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with blood like basins, like the corners of the altar. It also speaks there of joy. Listen, go for me to Samuel chapter 2 Samuel 22 verse 15. 2 Samuel 22 verse 15. Zenda. 2 Samuel 22 verse 15. You got it? And say with me, he sent out. Say it again. Say sent out. My greatest moment in ministry or greatest blessing was not when I was financially blessed. Was when I had nothing, but I was sent out by somebody that was of God. Are you guys with me? Many go and went out. We must choose to become sent out once. He sent out arrows and scattered them. Lightning bolts, say lightning bolts. And he vanquished them. Listen, when you're shot, it's like God's lightning bolts. Go for me to Psalm chapter number 21, verse 11. I'll close with this. Psalm 21, verse 11. For they intended evil against you. You know, if people can only understand, I'll finish now, just give me 1 minute. If people can only understand that right now where you're sitting, just because you can't see angels or demons doesn't mean that they are not there. There's a battle on for your life. There's a war on for your life. But people, we tend to ignore because ignorance is bliss. Ignorance isn't bliss. When you understand that right now there are things that will, that's biggest desire is to devour, and they've been sent to devour your family and destroy you. It's the sovereignty and the grace of God that protects you. The Bible says that God, the heavens are holding Jesus Christ back until a time, more time can be given for repentance, which speaks of grace. Time is grace. Listen, for they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not, say with me, not able to perform. Listen, I have had people devise a plot against me. Not even worldly people or people who want to kill me. Even those in the church. I was speaking to Pastor Mark, my spiritual father. I said to him, where are you going? He says, listen, Leon, they haven't been able to stop your take out until now. And they're not even going to do it from now. We are going to on now. God is looking for people with a thick skin. That's saying, I will be loyal to the call and the vision that God has given. Whether it's the vision of this house or another house. But you, I said, I will stick and whether hell or high water. I believe that this is of God. I believe that God is in this place. And I'm going to run with it. Listen, that loyalty will cause your name to be... Listen, loyalty was what caused people's names to be written in Scripture. Are you guys with me? If you study King David, all his mighty men had all these feats. I mean, they were great warriors. Captains over 50, captains over hundreds, captains over 10, captains over thousands. They were better and higher skilled than David. They were more dangerous than David. One guy would stand in one spot and kill 600 people with one sword until the sword was stuck in his hand. They could kill David within a second, but God chose David. But listen, then it said that there was one man. David made a mistake and he said, listen, if you kill so many people, I will give you this rank. The man being ambitious for himself. There's a difference between ambition and vision. A man who was ambitious began to do it because he wanted a title. He wanted a placement. It was about him, not about God, not about the armies. And you see, and he was part of the mighty men, and he got the rank, and he accomplished it. But you'll see in the Bible that when it listed the names of the warriors, that listed the mighty men of David, every name was mentioned except one name, and that was his name. When we try to do it for ourselves, when we are not part of a vision, when we are in it for ourselves, God will even remove you to have no legacy. Listen, they devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Next verse. Therefore, you will make them, say with me, turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string towards their faces. So you can stop there. Say with me, turn their back. Say it again. Say, turn their back. It's a picture like this. It's like God is saying, I will make you an arrow and you will shoot at their faces. And as a result, because you will shoot in their faces, it's like your enemy coming to you. Eka, just walk towards me quickly. And then when you're here, turn around and walk back. It's like, walk back. It's like when you're an arrow, the Bible signifies in the Scripture that God wants to shoot the enemy in their faces. So when the enemy comes to you, walk here. It's like you are an arrow and you're aimed at their face and they turn their back and they walk back. Which means that every sickness, every financial problems, may they turn their backs to you and walk away when they see that you are a polished arrow, when they see that you are a polished shaft in your father's quiver, ready to be shot. Come on, are you guys with me? Ready to be sent out. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand, a bigger hand than that.